Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hi.
Hey, guys.
We're back.
We're back for another episode
of Black Girls Laughing.
Da-da-da. I don't know. I just felt... it felt necessary as if we don't have really cool intro music or anything.
Yeah, like, no, because our trap intro music is just...
Trap.
Let's just, like, sing a random, like, Muzak song.
I really want to do...
We're black girls laughing.
Okay. My, like, instant reaction was to go...
It's the final countdown. We're black girls. We're laughing. We're black girls.
Oh, my God. Well, you're going to have to cut this down.
Anyways, we're back. I hope you didn't really miss us because we're only gone for a week. We weren't even gone. You had an episode and now we're back again.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Consistency. Woo! We're back at it.
We're here.
What?
Living the dream. Shout out to you guys that reached out to me or to us to say that you're happy we're back. We're happy to be back and we're happy that you're back. We're happy that you're happy that we're back. There.
We're so happy you're so happy. We're really happy that you're happy.
Okay.
Okay,
we can't start with musicals.
I'm just in a singy songy mood. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. So the show today. Of course we've got the John.
Uh-huh.
We've got a check it.
More checking it.
We've got You Better Work.
About to break it down for you.
We've got a throwback jam.
Of course.
And then we've got, of course, the signature segment. Giggle, cackle, roar.
But before we get into the first, John, how was your week?
It was good. I was unfortunately sick all week. Right after we recorded the last episode. And my throat was really weird the whole time. Uh-huh. The next day, I like ran to the gym and unfortunately had to use my inhaler because I couldn't breathe. And I was really worried that there was, like, something wrong and I was going to have to use it all the time. And then I woke up sick the next day and I was like, ah, this explains why I couldn't breathe. So I'm just coming out of the sickness. I think yesterday was, like, my last little day. But I went to SoulCycle for a spin class, my first one ever. I'm sore.
Yes.
But it was amazing and I can't wait for you to be healed so we can go.
Well, speaking of that, I got sick too. Tuesday was a terrible day for me. Went to physical therapy, couldn't breathe while having to do all my leg lifts and stuff. Tuesday sucked.
Tuesday sucked.
This is the worst. But then on Thursday, I had physical therapy. They put me on a stationary bike. And at first, I couldn't get all the way around. I had to go like back and forth, back and forth. I was on it for 10 minutes, and around minute 7, I got it going.
Woo!
Full rotation.
Yeah.
Lots of hand claps, lots of like, woo, woo, you go, girl, you can do it. So it was a big milestone hit. So that's exciting. So we're getting closer to you and me. Soul's like, I can't do it yet, but
soon.
We're getting closer. Yeah.
Closer.
It was painful. It was not fun going around, but we're getting there. Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah. That was like the big happy thing about
of
the
your week.
Week. Yeah, the big happy thing of the week. I'm also working with some of my friends on helping them promote their show that's happening at the beginning of November. And I helped them with ideas for a video, and that was really fun. It's been fun to help people give out my marketing advice and see it come, like, see the advice, like, turn into something. And then I'm going to help them put out a campaign, an actual ad campaign on Facebook, and see how, if that actually turns into ticket sales.
So yay. I'm,
like, really stoked about it. I will probably let you guys know either on my platform or here how that goes.
Yes. So, let us know.
We'll do.
Your magic. All right. Want to get it popping?
Yes. John time.
John time. So do you want me to start? You to start?
Well, let's just start off with the John that's sort of a wrap up from last week's John.
Yes.
So last week, BK had a lot of ideas, a lot of things to say about RBG. She let me know that she was saying some dumb stuff about Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the 49ers out of San Francisco. You know, he's been kneeling in protest to the national anthem. Not in protest to the national anthem, in protest to the treatment of black people in this country, and is using the national anthem during NFL games as a way to have this silent protest. And RBG had some
stupid stuff to say.
I mean, she called it dumb.
Yeah. So there's that.
But she's kind of switching her tune.
Retracted her statement because she didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, you know how they, like, tell you to think before you speak? Huh? Huh?
But that, we don't live in that world anymore, though. That think before you speak world, we clearly don't live in it. We wouldn't have Donald Trump right now if that was a thing that we actually cared about. So
I personally still care about that. I mean, occasionally I don't think before I speak, but I also don't have the platform she has or the following she has or the people she has looking at her.
I
all
mean,
the time.
It's also a rare thing for her to do a televised interview.
Yeah, so like, why wouldn't she come prepared?
Yeah, like, if you're on camera, don't just be popping off the cuff just because someone brings something up and you just answer it without knowing the facts.
No, if that's not a thing you were, like, used to doing, it's just, like, prepared for off-the-cuff conversations to, like, know what's actually happening.
I mean,
just,
she doesn't have a podcast. She's not, like, looking at the news every day.
She should be.
She should be. But she's not. I don't know what the true role of the Supreme Court is in
that
way.
She doesn't have to look at the news. She can have an intern read the news to her.
Yeah.
She could have an intern record a podcast of all the headlines of the news, and she could listen to it.
Yeah, but it's, like, this weird thing of, like, does the Supreme Court need to, like, do they need to know about all the political things that are happening to do their job?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I think so, yes. I do think so, but, like, they're, in the, like, the creation of the Supreme Court and, my, like, me, like, channeling back to, like, understanding, you know, American history and our founding fathers and stuff. So, you know, going back like 20 years. Like, they're supposed to be like this impartial party that doesn't really know, that has no, like, footing in, like, political stamp, like, in like political discourse, so they could have an unbiased viewpoint. You know what I'm saying?
So then don't talk about it.
I mean, yeah, but I don't, I mean, yeah. But she's different. I mean, it's different. In this modern world, you can't be that way. I mean, just with putting women onto the Supreme Court, it changed it. And having people of color on the Supreme Court changes the way that it functions. Because I think having that opinion, not being a part of the world, or knowing what's going on in terms of political strife and conversation in America, only really helps the status quo, the white status quo, the power status quo, because then it doesn't have to take in any new
change.
Information or
yeah.
change. Because if the system is already broken,
then it works in white men's favor.
Yeah, I mean, the system works. But if it's broken for everyone else,
yeah,
why would we change it?
So, yeah, RBG said, just kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about. What I said was wrong. The end. I'm ready to move on.
Let's move on.
Great. So, Tamiko Cross is a name that many of you, I'm sure, have heard, especially those of you listening to this podcast recently. So, Tamiko Cross is a black female OBGYN from Houston. And she helped ignite this social media campaign that you should be seeing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And it's hashtag what a doctor looks like. So Tamiko was on a flight and there was an issue with a man on the flight and they called overhead and said, is there a doctor on board or a medical professional that can help us with this man? And Tamiko, being a doctor, raised her hand to say, I can help. Like, let me help. And she documented that the flight attendant came up to her and said, oh, no, sweetie, put your hand down. We are looking for actual physicians or nurses of some type of medical personnel. We don't have time to talk to you. Which then Tamiko then tried to respond with, I'm a doctor. Which then her response was like, she got cut off. She got some ignorant, condescending remarks. Ask, what type of doctor are you? Where do you work?
What are your credentials?
Yeah, which was then met with a white man standing up and saying he could help. Surprise, surprise. And then, you know, things happened. They were helping the man. And they ended up having to come back to Tamiko to ask a question. Funny.
Yeah.
Funny. Which then, of course, I wanted her to be petty wop. But you're trying to save someone, so of course she helps out because she's a doctor and that's what doctors do. But now you see this campaign on social media of black women, women of color, but mostly, of course, black women taking a picture and being like, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, this is what a doctor looks like. Like, don't look at me and assume you know if I'm a doctor or not, especially in the instance of someone needing help.
Life, yeah.
And you're gonna, like, everyone else wasn't raising their hand saying they're a doctor. There were a few people. Tamiko was one of the first people you saw. You should have said, okay, clearly she's a doctor. She's going to help me. So now Tamiko has decided to go above this flight attendant and create this national conversation. And people are using this hashtag and it's awesome and it's beautiful and all these beautiful women look like the coolest doctors and come be my doctor and how do I schedule an office visit, or I hope that any of you have to do surgery on me if I ever end up in the ER, and screw you, Delta Airlines.
Well, yeah, this flight attendant is an asshole. There's just no other way of, like, she's just an asshole. She's a racist asshole for her to have that assumption that just because she's black that she's not a doctor. Like, what if, like, you thought she was like a home health aide, that she was just like, and that's the only thing that black people do in the community of the huge health sector, that's the only thing that black people can do. It also made me think about, I read that her Facebook post and, like, almost cried, because I've had situations where people have assumed that I was not the point person because of my youth or the color of my skin. Yep. Or both.
Or being a woman.
Being a woman. It's all of those things come into play often. There was a recent woman that's an architect in Seattle. She got a check. She didn't set up her direct deposit. Got a check from her new job. was in Seattle, brought the check to her new bank in Seattle. She had just moved there, relocated from someplace else. She takes her check in. They take it cool. She gets a call from the bank manager, like a smooth, like, you know, like 10 minutes after she dropped it off, saying, where did this check come from? What is PNC Bank? Because they're from Seattle, and the check was from a architecture firm that's headquartered in Philadelphia, so they use PNC Bank. So they were trying to tell her that her check was not real and that they didn't believe that this came from an actual place, an actual business. And they called her company to verify that she even worked there, and all types of foolishness. And so there's this, again, this assumption that I'm a black person, that I can't have a check for a significant amount of money, and that if I do have a check for a significant amount of money, that it's fraudulent, or that I'm trying to scam you in some way. And it's something that happens to us on a microaggression way, but then also just a blatant racism. I'm sorry, that, like, what that was, what the Tamika went through, I don't call that a microaggression. That's just straight up racism. Like, that is, like, let's not, like, nah. And it consistently happens because there's this picture of what a black person is.
And it's gross.
And it cannot be close to anything that is respectable or regular. Like, let me forget respectable. Like, just like a, it's just not a per, it's not a person.
Yeah.
It's not a person that will do any basic function in this world.
No.
Be a doctor, be a person with a job just trying to get their check, be it.
Literally, at some points, just a literal breathing human being.
And it's just gross. Like, it's so... Yeah.
That's the only word I can think of for it. It's just so gross.
Freaking gross. And...
Yeah.
I'm sorry for Jamaica. I'm sorry for everyone that has to go through that type... That has to go through that... You're not alone. You're dealing it with everyone. Like, we're all... But it, like, goes with, like, freaking, like, Donald Trump. The way that Donald Trump can put black community, inner city crime, and act like those things are the same. Like, those are equal.
They are to so many people.
Yeah.
So many people. Like, the amount of times... Yeah, that could be a long tangent, especially having lived in Philadelphia for a while now, and like the way people talk about parts of the city just don't, I can't. It yes. would be a whole episode.
I mean, it can be a whole episode. I mean, like, coded language around, like,
yeah.
sketchy.
Is it safe?
Like, what do you mean is it safe? Yes. You mean is there too many black people on the street for you well, to that's feel what, safe? I'm
like, do you walk around like an asshole with your headphones in at midnight with your wallet out? Then no, it's not safe for you anywhere ever. And I hope you never leave your house. Is it safe? I don't know. Do you mess with people when you walk down the street? Like, are you carrying a gun and flashing it in front of people? Or running up to people and saying you're going to beat their ass? If you do any of those things, then no, it ain't safe for you. Stay home. If you don't do any of those things, it isn't any different than where you live now, except there's more people. So then, yeah, it does happen more because there's more people. It doesn't have to do with anything else except for when you live in rural United States of America, it's spread out.
It's not even like rural. It's not even that. It's like it can even be a place that the police actually protect, or a place that police go and treat everyone like they're a criminal. Like, then that is inside of the same city wall, like the city yeah. limits. You can have those very dichotomous, like, existence and understandings of what neighborhood is. And just because you have decided that you are not used to seeing black people move in space Because that's what it boils down to. People are just not used to seeing black people move in space, and they only have negative stereotypes to base their understanding of blackness on. If it's just The Wire that you know as being black, you're going to have the wrong impression. And there's tons, and it happens to, again, not just white people. Black people do it. We can get into the global anti-blackness and what that means.
Anyway, we feel it with all of you too.
Mm-hmm.
Bah. Moving on.
So Nicki Minaj is going to be on the cover of Marie Claire magazine for November. It's coming out on October 18th. So
I give zero fucks and I got zero chill in me. That's my favorite Nicki Minaj line right now.
So she did this interview with Janet Mock.
Woo!
Yeah. So it was just, you know, beauty and magic going left and right. Just gorgeousness. And she just gets real about a lot of different topics. And I'm really excited to read this when it comes out. But some of the, like a preview of that article has come out and it's been making the rounds on the internet because she calls out Kanye West and also Sharon Osbourne.
Ugh.
For two separate but also very linked reasons. First thing that she called out, I want to just like read the direct quote. "I'm so tired of black women feeling that when our men get rich, they're going to leave them for a woman of a different race. It wasn't funny when Kanye said, and Gold Digger, when he get on, he'll leave your ass for a white girl." Talking about Gold Digger, that line, I've danced to that line. I've sung that line with emphasis.
I've screamed it. I've pointed at people.
Yeah, like, I know what you're gonna do. but she was really talking about just how it dismisses black love and it is dismissive of black women. And dismissive of our value. And she's really wants to uplift the currency of black womanhood. And that type of language, be it a joke or truth, which, I mean, if you look at Kanye West and who he's married to now, and who he was with when that song was coming out.
Listen.
I mean, art imitates life all the time. but it's like, it just, what is our position of like acknowledging that stuff, but then also trying to combat it at the same time? And that, what is black men's responsibility in combating that idea that black women are less valuable to black men once they've reached a certain tax bracket?
That's a never-ending battle, as I see every day via the internet. That just, I never know how to pronounce it. Misogynoir? Am I saying it right? Misogyny in the black community. I don't ever know what to say, because when I read garbage like that, I'm always like, do you realize that the black woman is the most valuable human being on this planet, on this whole freaking earth? The most valuable. They come in so many shades. They're so magical. Like, if you could see my face right now, it's just like, black women are beyond gold. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Ah. just racism. I mean, I was like,
why do you hate yourself so much that you hate the women that made you, that made this world, this earth, this place that we call home? Anywho.
Yeah. So she had some choice words about that. But then she also brought up, so we all remember when Anaconda dropped and the cover art for it was, you know, that squat, that booty, that G-string. I loved it.
So
I was a major fan of it. I wanted it. I wanted it everywhere.
Tattoo it on my body.
Yeah, like, I could stare at that ass all day. So Sharon Osbourne, you know, that woman.
Garbage.
She birthed Kelly Osbourne and she was married to
Ozzy Osbourne.
And she's on a talk show, I think, still.
I don't know why.
Yeah. But anyway. Whatever. People care about her opinion on things. I don't know. So when that dropped, she had a bunch of choice words for Nicki Minaj about it being trashy and disgusting, that she would do something like that, called it like a porn move, and just very negative things. Turn a couple of months later, Kim Kardashian does a nude selfie on Instagram, breaks the internet, all that BS, and she's like applauding what she's done. Which, again, shit that we've seen before, not new. You know, people that applaud Madonna and shame Beyonce, you know.
Yo, we can get started with those people.
But, like, you know, that type of stuff that happens all the freaking time. And then, you know, rightfully Nicki's fans, they clapped back when they saw that, like, how dare you do this? This is a complete double standard against women of color in the media showing off their bodies, embracing their beauty, embracing their curves, showing off their God-given illustriousness.
Or not God-given.
Or not God-given, or
they
whatever.
They pay for it.
Their beauty.
They bought it,
and it's all right.
It's theirs.
Like, but, you know, it is definitely a shape that is, you know, more naturally found in black women than European women.
Or Romanian, whatever the Kardashians are. I don't know.
Armenian,
whatever. Romanian.
Hey.
I couldn't remember the difference. I just remember an R.
Something Enian. So yeah. I mean, again, it just exists out there. I'm excited that she's talking about. I think it makes me really excited for her next album. So I feel like it's coming soon. I feel like she's going to have more things to say moving forward. She also talked about, like, young women's goals. She's, like, pissed that so many women, young girls, are so obsessed with marrying rich and not just being rich themselves.
Yeah.
And that's been, like, in the news a lot.
I mean, listen, I've been talking a lot, not always, but I've been talking a lot lately about how, like, when you're younger, people, like, envision their lives of, like, I'm going to be married and have this many kids and live in this kind of house and have this kind of dog. And every time I've envisioned my life, I've never had a partner. Like, I've never seen my life. Like, I want to be rich. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to do that. I've never, like, in a dream or in a thought or in an idea or a vision board ever saw a partner. It'd be great to have a partner for all those things, but I was like, no, I'm going to make a ton of money on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy a house that I can buy on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, and that might be like a product of coming from divorced parents or something, but I've never. Y'all get rich on your own.
I mean, like, it shouldn't be your number one goal. I think it goes with, like, this whole world that we exist, that we have, of women that become Instagram famous or Snapchat famous, and how, and there's just like a lot of currency with, especially with like what we're seeing with like women of color and the way that it's portrayed through reality television, of like that being a means of making money is having a husband that's rich or a boyfriend that's rich, that you selling that story and being on, you know, Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, LA, or New York, like being a Real Housewife or whatever, being a basketball wife, selling your reality and whatever you're able to get just by being beautiful, which is also fleeting, but only using that card. Everyone's given a couple of cards, right? And given a card. Maybe it's not a winning hand. I didn't say it was a winning hand. You might get some cards. You might be all twos. I don't know what you are getting. But again, you know, sometimes you can play two twos and win the game and win a hand. You never know what you're going to do. It's all about how you can make it. And some people take their queen pretty card and that's the only card they play. And then it gets wrinkled and bruised up and it doesn't mean anything anymore. And, you know, then you signed a stupid prenup and now you really have, and like, and then he leaves you and you have nothing. Like there's so many choices that people are making, and a lot of young people, a lot of women, and for forever have taken the, I'm not even going to say that it's easier, but it's just a route that is pushed upon women of going with hooking up with someone that has it instead of getting it your own. You can get it on your own. But again, it goes with the idea that women didn't have, I mean, hey, women have only had this chance to really go get it for their own for like a fraction of time.
Yep.
And I think that's something that we also need to remember, is that all of this stuff is new. The planet's been moving around for a long time, and women's liberation was, I mean, the right to vote was in the 1920s. Like, come on, that's not that long ago.
Which is crazy.
We haven't even had a 100-year anniversary.
Nope.
Like, when you, like, second wave feminism, with all of its, you know, bullshit on it, like, you know, that was yesterday. Like, a part of that was still in our lifetime.
And this new wave is
just begun.
Yeah. Here and confusing and a mess as of now.
Wow.
Well,
we're about to go real backwards with life.
Yeah. That's because we need to burn it down. Anyway.
Please, can we burn it down? Again, the world is not getting hot enough fast enough. Ooh, let's just boil this bitch and let's just start over.
Yes. We need a cleansing. Is that it?
That's it. That's the John, y'all.
That's the John. Hey guys, so last week I talked about how Check It is evolving more to just make sure you are living your best life. So we're talking about things that make you happy, things that make you feel good, mental health, and now I want to talk about uncomfortable things. Uncomfortable things meaning things that, you know, a lot of us go through or have or deal with that we just don't want to talk about. And a lot of these might focus on just women in particular, since I am a cis woman and these are the things I deal with. So the thing that popped in my head that I wanted to talk about is facial hair on women. So I am a hairy individual. I have a lot of hair on my head. I have a lot of hair on my arms. I have a lot of hair on my legs. I have a lot of hair on my body, including my face. Since I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more annoying chin hairs that I now have to groom because I particularly don't like them. And it's so annoying. Like, if I sat down and calculated how much I spend in grooming my eyebrows, which I should probably do, probably touch up every day, let alone every week to 2 weeks, I should be grooming them. And then the rest of my face, along with the rest of my body that I choose to groom. It's so expensive, and I feel like I do it the cheap way. So getting it all professionally done, I can only imagine the cost of the upkeep. But really, I wanted to just talk about facial hair on women. A lot of us, most of us, deal with it, we'll deal with it, have dealt with it in our lifetime. It happens. What you choose to do with it is great, is wonderful. I hope you're doing whatever's comfortable. If you feel like going 4 weeks without doing anything, like I often do, power to you. And yeah, do you want to add?
Oh, I have plenty to ask about facial hair. with facial hair. It's been something I've known about for forever. Like my mother, again, I come from a hairy family. Like my grandmother has always talked about like getting her chin, like pulling her chin stuff all the time. My mother like always would go, I remember going to like the nail salon with my mom, and instead of her getting her nails done, and she's getting waxed, she's getting the full wax face thing, and like it's been a ritual with me and my mother of like going to like the Benefit brow bar and getting our eyebrows, face, maybe if we're being like extra special, get like lashes too. It's expensive, and being a broke girl, I've been trying to like figure out different ways to deal with it. From, I looked into getting laser hair removal.
I remember. Didn't you start that?
I went down there. I had like the conversation with them. It's still like, even with like the discount, it's still thousands of dollars. I would have had to open up a line of credit to do it. And like, it's an investment that I will make in the future. Because when you think about if you were going to go get your eyebrows done, like, well, I would never do it for my eyebrows, but for the chin and the lip, because like you can get, you know, a little bit of a mustache or
I
a
have
chin.
One.
No, I mean, I have a mustache. I grow a sort of a beard. Women do these things. That women are like, it's like this happens to women, and like women have to like hide it in such weird ways, and women only really talk about it in our little forums on the internet, like you know, your beauty blogger that you follow on YouTube might talk about how she removes hair, but then some don't. Like, it's very few people like talk about the struggle of having a hair-free face for women. But then there's also women that don't give a damn, and I like wish I could be that way. You know, there's women that there was a Sikh woman
I know
that exactly made the news about. Because she had like
a full beard.
She had a full beard because they don't cut their hair, and so she was keeping with her way of life and didn't give a damn. And she was gorgeous, regardless. I mean, it's just a fact of life. But I get nervous that my biggest fear for my future is that I'll become an old lady that doesn't care. But like I do like that I can care, and I think that it's a part of being human is caring about how you look, and being alive is wanting to present your best self as much as you can.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle. I've invested in some new little things that have been helping me like keep it on a budget, but it's also something that I have to do now every single day.
Yeah.
Because if you're not pulling it out and you're like shaving it off. Thankfully, I'm dark too. Having darker skin has made it a lot easier. I could go without doing anything for a little bit longer and people won't notice the beard growing unless they like get up in my shit. But then I have like lighter friends that have done like, yes, you. Like I had this, when we were in college, one of my friends, she started like doing like the light shaving off, like with like little razor. And she was lighter. And so like when it's the stubble starts to come in, it's like prominent. And she's like, I can never do it that way. I want you to switch back to going to get waxed.
Yeah, I wax my own chin.
I've tried waxing my
own chin. Sally Hansen strips. I don't do the hot dip wax because that would just be scary. A nightmare.
Do you do the ones that you do like this?
You heat up with a blow dryer. I use a blow dryer because it's more convenient than your hands.
Pro tip. That's good to know. I've used those. They also have like this little like pen that you can get too that like it like squirts out. I didn't like how that worked. But if you guys have tips on how to keep your hair off your face. Yeah.
Let us know.
Please let us know.
Yeah. A broke girl's version. I ain't trying to go get waxed all the time.
It's so expensive. When I only had my part-time job, my mama paid my bills, I was getting my stuff waxed every 2 weeks, like religiously. It was like, I'm getting my eyebrows, like I'm going to go full face, maybe even do my sideburns, like.
Oh, I didn't even think about, yeah, I have.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy sideburns.
Oh my gosh. And then those ladies, they can be so mean to you.
I don't listen.
You go in there and you get your, like, you're like, I just want my eyebrows. And they're like, you sure you don't want lip? You sure you don't want chin?
You don't want your cheeks, your whole face, just rip it all off?
Yeah, can I just get right here underneath your mole here? Yeah,
like your cheekbones. Do you want those waxed too?
Make you feel like you're a werewolf.
I live my mustache sideburn life every day. But I do, in particular, like the chin hairs have really, really started to bother me more and more. And I get self-conscious to the point where, like, I don't even want my roommate to know that I do it. And, like,
she's doing something for her face.
And, like, in reality, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm like, oh, like, let me hurry up and hide the fact that I'm putting these Sally Hansen strips on my chin instead of my eyebrows. I don't know. But I wanted to talk about it to get more comfortable because we should talk about uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
To help normalize them for ourselves and for others.
I mean, I had to get real with my husband about it. Like, you know how some women, like, hide their grooming from their mate. Like, from their partner. And, like, I've been real. Like, my chin's really hairy right now. Like, whatever. And, like, it's more from, like, my own self-consciousness. Yeah. I, like, bring it up. Like, sorry. And he's like, I don't care. You're still here.
Yeah. I'm the same way of like, oh, I'm gonna go on a date, I better make sure, like, if the light catches me in the right angle, I don't have a chin hair you can see. Oh yeah. So let's normalize the uncomfortable, y'all, and check it. Hey, that was good. That was good. Cheesy and good.
So we're back for another You Better Work. And BK brought this up last week. Because a couple of weeks ago, I put up a little equation or little quote that I coined from listening to some podcasts. I was listening to the Ask Gary Vee podcast. Gary Vaynerchuk is a entrepreneur. He started VaynerMedia. He's really big on Snapchat. He's a cool dude. And he was talking about how when you don't give an F, your life, you are able to move faster in life. And so I was like, Well, the and return on investment of not giving an F is speed. So, the ROI of not giving a F is speed. So, what does that mean? Think about all the time you waste worrying about the next thing you're going to put on Facebook. That post, that idea that you wanted to put out there. All that time you're thinking about, well, what is Tammy going to say? And what's my mama going to say? And is my old professor going to see this? And then you've talked, at that point, you might even talk yourself out of even doing it. Think about the time you've wasted replying to an email. Think about it.
Too much.
Where you're just, if I say it this way, are they going to take it the right way? Or if I do this, am I going to do it? Or are they going to feel this way? And you're just worrying. People are going to feel whatever they're going to feel about what you do. They're going to feel it. They're going to feel good. They're going to feel bad. They're going to feel indifferent about anything that you put out in the world. But when you put that, when you care too much about it, and I'm not saying don't care about what other people think, but when you put too much value on those opinions, it can stop you from actually doing things. Especially if you're trying to start a business, change your life, make bigger moves, be a little bolder in your job, take a leadership position, put yourself out there. If you are worried about how everyone's going to take what you put out, maybe you won't even do it. So I've been really trying to live by this mantra that if I give less fucks, maybe I'll do things a little bit faster. And I've seen that. I've been like taking that mantra for like the past 2 weeks, and I've seen it happen to myself where I'm giving critiques back to people and not caring about what they're going to, what about their feelings. I'm working on a diversity and equity inclusion initiative at my job right now. And I have to, we're working on this. I'm giving my feedback on stuff that other people have written. And sometimes we get afraid that we might be pushing the envelope too forward, or we might be afraid of like ruffling feathers. I haven't cared about that. And the response has been awesome. People have been taking the criticism to heart. They've been moving forward, and I feel like better work has been done because I'm not worried about stepping on a toe, even if it's a little bit. And it's, I'm just seeing better results. I've been working on what I want to do for my side hustle, my business. I've been putting myself out there and saying, hey, I want to help you. This is what I do. I'm calling myself an expert and truly believing it and putting my expert opinion out there. And people are gravitating towards it. So if you've been thinking about starting that business, if you've been wanting to start that podcast, start that blog, you know, maybe you just want to do some direct sales and you want to do Beachbody or Chloe and Isabel or whatever, and you've been afraid that, oh, people are going to think I fell for this stupid idea, or people are going to have all their negative opinions about whatever that is. Give it up. Don't worry about it. So here's a couple of, just like three little action steps. One, if you're really going to take this mantra into heart, you have to take some time and set aside some action time. Be it an hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours, and give yourself a little bit of time every single day to take an action in your life, to be bold. And you want to give yourself a little bit of time, because again, if you're not giving a fuck, you should be doing it faster. Like the speed will be inherent. So go take, decide that action and then go do it. Two, I think a lot of us get really worried about our social media presence. And I know too many people are like, I'm starting a business. I got my Facebook page and my Twitter account and my Instagram ready. Is that going to make you money? Are those three things going to make you money? So my tip number two is don't care about social media unless the action you're going to take, you know exactly how it's going to lead to the result that you want. And I'm assuming that result is money. So if you don't know how you put in that tweet out there is going to turn into dollars for you, forget it. Focus on the actions that are going to give you results. And then three is start fast and then you can revise. Get it out there. When we decided we wanted to do Black Girls Laughing, we had an idea. The show was up and live in a month. 28 days. A period cycle. We had this show up. If you want to make something happen, you can get it. You can get it done if you put your mind to it. If you put your words into action, you can get it done. Do it fast. Then revise. Take those comments, take them, and then you can make it better. Fail fast is another way of putting it. Fail fast, fail hard, do it now. Because guess what? You will learn from that. Because you know what you will not learn from? Not doing a damn thing. Because when you do nothing, there's nothing to learn from. So, the ROI of not giving enough is
speed.
Now go. Fail fast. Be awesome. And let me know what you're doing. What's your business? How are you trying to do it? What are you going to be working on? And again, it doesn't have to be you starting a business. It could just be you being better in your job, being a better mama, being a better anything. What little changes are you trying to do in your damn house and you haven't even done because you're worried about what your mama's going to say when she comes to visit? Just go do it. Paint the wall green. See what happens. If it doesn't look good, guess what? There's more paint. You can always buy more paint. It always can be erased.
Yeah. I'm ready to go fast.
Let's go fast. So that is You Better Work for this week. Woo!
All right, guys, we're back, and the throwback jam this week has been chosen by me. I was going to pick one song, and then I was sitting there, and the song popped in my head, and I realized that it's been randomly popping in my head a lot lately. Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? Now. So, you should know. And if you don't know, that's by Heavy D and the Boys, Now That We Found Love. And I just want to say, now you know, since I was saying, if you don't know, now you know. But that jam, I distinctly remember, I should have looked it up. The movie that Heavy D was in that I used to watch with my dad all the time.
What movie was
Heavy D? I have to think of it now.
Because I can only think about Heavy D being on Living Single.
There is a movie. Oh, no. Am I thinking of Fat Boys? That's a movie, right? That has to be a movie. I know it's a movie. I'm looking it up.
I'm like looking up Heavy D, like...
The Fat Boys. I don't know why I'm mixing up Heavy D and the Fat Boys. Maybe because it's in the boys and that's what my brain was going to. But I used to watch the Fat Boys all the time. and I was thinking of Heavy D at the same time. I don't know why I was mixing those up, but that's the throwback jam of the week. The end.
All right. All right. Well, he's been in a lot of movies, Heavy D.
See? I knew he was in stuff. But yeah. I was also thinking of the Fat Boys. Yeah, he's in Step Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life Babs. Well, as Heavy D.
Yeah. Yeah, he's busy.
All right. Tales from the Crypt. But I remember him on Living Single. Like, that was, like, he was dating Regine, and Regine was like, I don't know if I can date him. Like,
yeah.
He's not a rich dude. He's fluffy.
Yeah, because, you know, fluffy black men can't be rich. Well, couldn't be on TV.
Nah. I mean, is that even true now?
Like, I don't know. That was like...
Even Al Roker lost weight, so...
True that. Oh, my gosh. Time to move on.
All right. It's time for our signature segment. Giggle.
Cackle.
Roar. Oh, someone else is trying to roar.
No, your roars are like... Which I enjoy them.
Oh, thank you.
Even if I look at you like...
What is your problem?
Bishwe.
Anyways, so I have a giggle. And it's a podcast recommendation for all my women of color out there trying to make that money. Trying to live their best life. And they want advice from other women of color. And that podcast is the Heart and Hustle podcast with Angelica Yard and Charisma Moran.
Those names.
They're right. They're great names, right? They are out of Florida. And the show's very like, we live in Florida. They love Disney. They're huge Harry Potter freaks.
Yes.
Like, they go to Disney like every other week. Like, they plan their life about it. Like, one lives in like Celebration, Florida. Like,
she's about she is it. Disney.
Yeah, she is Disney. And they are really, their podcast is all about women of color talking to other women of color about working as entrepreneurs, trying to live their best life. And they have really great practical tips. And they bring in people that are completely different from the rest of the entrepreneurial landscape. So if you are someone that like hobbies around entrepreneurism, you might listen to a lot of podcasts. I love the Smart Passive Income podcast and Youpreneur and all this different stuff. It's very much a white man space.
Yep.
From the Tim Ferriss Show, all of them, Michael Hyatt, all white men. They can be young, they can be old, but they're all white. And they all have a very similar mantras and feelings about things. But when I go listen to their podcast, I feel like I'm at home. They're just... two girls keeping it real. They sound like, but they are my people in the fact that they are really thinking about like entrepreneurship in a smart way. There's one's a consultant for brands, and she has her own little consulting agency. And then Angelica has, she is a designer and does like website design and, brand design for different folks, and she also has her own like paper company.
Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, like cute, cool, nice stuff. And they're like, they also talk a lot about being a business person who is an introvert. Mm. Because they are introverts, and even though they do things to be out there, they like maneuver it in a very interesting way, like that understanding of being an introvert and how that works inside of business. Their latest episode that's like really made me want to bring them up was all about finding your people. And it may not like finding your people as like your customers, but finding other entrepreneurs to talk to be around. And it's just such good tips on just like how you can get that conversation started. Because you can't, if you're trying to have a business, you can't do it completely alone. You have to, at the very least, you have to have you know, customers. You're going to have to collaborate with other people in your sphere, in your niche, or in adjacent niches. So just like some ways of like getting how to like talk to people online, how to start making those connections on Twitter, on Facebook, and in social media, and then also in, you know, in real life, like how to just little, some advice on just like how to network with people, like basic tips that I've already been like using, like, you know, find something to compliment on everyone that you talk to, because that's the best way to make a friend. Like, great basic things. And I love their little podcast. Everyone should check it out every week, every Thursday, just like us. They have a new episode. They bring in experts. They just also just chat about what's really happening in their businesses right now.
That's awesome.
Yay, Black Podcast.
Yay, Black Podcast. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm working on my return on investment of giving an F.
Not giving an F.
Yes. I'll be speeding through that podcast.
Yes.
Moving on to No Cackle.
There's plenty to cackle at. We'll just cackle at this election.
Again.
Yeah.
For the 100th time.
Yeah.
Just cackling. All right. I have a roar that's very particular that, like, my heart just really wanted to talk about. And I felt like this was a good chance for me to also, like, make friends so I can talk about this, because I've been talking about it with myself or, like, engaging in conversations on the internet, but, like, have no one to really talk to about BTS. So if you don't know, BTS is a K-pop group that is just, like, really, really good. Like, really good. And they just released their newest album called Wings. And they had each member help write a song and has a solo on the album. And they're just, like, so good. And if you knew how often I was listening to them, or, like, when you see me walking down the street and I have a hat on and earbuds in and you think I'm trying to look really cool, but really I'm just listening to K-pop because I have a lot of feelings about K-pop right now. And I, like, have been sucked into this black hole of just fandoms and being a fangirl. And I've actually never fangirled something so hard besides Beyonce. So this is, like, a new world of stanning that I've just opened myself up to, and I feel so much about them. But you should listen to them. Their signature, like, their track for the album right now is called Blood, Sweat, Tears, and they are so good. And even if you don't like the music, their choreography is amazing. The choreography of all K-pop groups is amazing. Their music videos, the cinematography, all films should be shot. Just listen to it, dance to it, look it up on YouTube so you know what they're saying in English. Don't look it up and pretend like you know how to say the words in Korean. It's so catchy. It'll get you tapping your toes. Hopefully someone hears this and someone can fangirl with me about K-pop, because I just need, like, friends to talk about BTS and EXO with, because that's all I've been talking about for, like, at least 2 months now, since August.
You have been talking a lot about it. I can definitely attest to
it
that.
It started with a day I had off out of work, and I was watching BuzzFeed videos, and Eugene, the babe of all babes of BuzzFeed,
yes,
did the stereotypes in K-pop groups. And I was like, I don't know anything about K-pop. Why do they have all these, like, tropes in one group? So then I clicked on a video that was on the right-hand side of YouTube, and it was EXO, Call Me Baby. And here I am in this black hole that I can't get out of and I have no friends to talk about with.
All right. Well, we gotta get you to South Korea.
Right? Somebody send me there. Let me go see a concert. Let me do a fan chant in Korean. Woo! Anyway, that's my roar because I'm roaring about it literally on the inside.
Have you seen the black K-pop group?
No.
Oh, there's a black group. They're Korean and they're black. And they have a K-pop band.
Okay, time to start standing another group. I'm never going to get out of this black hole.
Like, I don't remember their name.
Coco Avenue.
Yep.
Oh my God, I'm Googling it.
Yes, Coco Avenue. Get on that.
Oh my God. Okay, guys, I might be roaring about K-pop again. Oh my God, they're beautiful. See y'all on the other side, because I'm never coming out.
But we got to go to that spot that I told you about where they have Korean fried chicken and then just K-pop everywhere.
Like, why are we still sitting here recording? I want to go now.
We'll plan a date before you leave.
Next week. We're going next week. I've decided. No, but that's so exciting to me because I have alarmingly noticed the... how much they whitewash their K-pop stars.
Oh, yes.
And I really can't get into female K-pop groups because, like, women are sexualized and then they're sexualized. And it's like, I started watching a music video and I, like, shook my head and wanted to throw up because I was like, oh, my God, you all might be 17 at the oldest. What is happening?
Yeah.
I mean, K-pop isn't like the best, seeing how they like take your childhood and make you a trainee and then you might make it or you might not.
Oh gosh, I didn't even know all of
that. Oh, there's so many things I could teach you.
All right, let's nerd out over chicken soon.
But next week, be prepared to hear my review of Coco Avenue, guys. Because I'm going to give you one.
All right. I guess that's another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Yeah.
We did it. Again.
Woohoo!
Woo! So check us out on the interwebs at blackgirlslaughing.com. And you can also send us an email at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com.
Find us on social medias on Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with No G, and the same on Instagram at BLK Girls Laughing with No G, and on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing.
Yes. Like us.
Yeah. Leave a comment.
Yes. Share this episode if you enjoyed it. Share past episodes if you enjoyed them.
Yeah. Tell us that while we were gone, you listened to this episode and you were like, where the hell are these girls at?
Yeah. Let us know. And, you know, rate us on iTunes, on Stitcher, leave a comment. We love it. Yeah. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
For another episode.
Bye.
Come on. We're black girls laughing.
Okay.